One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
This is 4Network.
Credo is the daft of the Football Daft podcast.
Is that a good story? Is that a good story?
I've got an encyclopedia brain.
He's got a day man nothing.
Fuck's sake! Why are you a fucking hooligan?
This is Football Daft.
You're a Rangers man. I'm a Hearts man.
With Ewan Cameron.
I work for Showtime and ESPN.
And
for the top end of Stevenson, Greedo!
Welcome to our Best of Football Daft. You've guessed it, I am neither Ewan Cameron, Greedo or David Tanner. My name is Producer John. I am going to take you through some of the best bits from the last couple of months. We've had some brilliant interviews on air thanks to David Tanner's massive contacts book. We've had the likes of David Robertson, Gary Mackay, Stephen Dobie. So we thought we'd give you some of the best bits from those interviews. We've also had some non-football guests on as well, including X Factor winner Nicholas McDonald, who popped in to do Who Are You? And that ended up in the duet no one ever wanted to hear, as him and Grado sang the songs of Bill Withers.
But listen, hold on a minute. I want to sing with you, man.
Come on then. What's your song, Walking Into the Ring?
Right, like a prayer, but that's not a good...
No.
Right, but hold on. The song that I always sing when I'm in karaoke, so all my pals always love me when I sing it. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no darkness anyway. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
It's a bit, I know. That goes on forever. We'll be here the next week.
Wait, what is your favourite song to sing?
I don't know.
It can be miracles when you believe.
No.
That actually, did I tell that story, John, on the podcast before when I went for a, an audition a couple of months ago? Have I never told Jesus?
For what?
I went for an audition for this.
It's my first week.
I know. It was for the National Theatre fucking thing in London. All my actor pals were like, hey man, this is heavy duty, this audition. It's like, no messing about there.
Did you ever hear Sir Larry Olivier sing the National fucking Theatre thing?
No, never.
See, that's the way...
Sir Alec Guinness.
That's the way I'm on. I just kind of made myself, right? And so I had to go in and read a couple of scripts and it was all like, oh, can all this, can I, all that.
Dramatic.
Oh, the boat is sinking, please save me, right? But I had to read the script. Then they went and said, look, then they said, can you sing a song for us? We need to, you need to deliver a piece. I went, right, okay, give me 2 minutes. And I went, fuck it, I'll sing Leon Jackson's The Winner song. So I'm like, stunning with my phone, right? Stunning with my
Pulls
phone.
Pulls up the karaoke version on YouTube.
I did, I went like audition. I stood in front of all these, like, you know, hoity-toity, hello, Graham, just stand over there and just, you know, have a bash. Don't be scared, Graham. You
relax, Graham, relax.
Graham. And I'm like, there can be miracles when you believe
the hope is real. They can go,
well, I didn't get to that point. It was basically... Right, Graham, that's enough.
Thank you for coming.
We'll be in touch.
Get the part.
Never fucking heard nothing.
Nah, I wouldn't have phoned you back either.
No, I bet you wouldn't have. You got any singles coming out?
No, this year. Next year.
Right,
so
cool. Big album.
Big album. Big number one.
So listen, big mystery. What team do you support?
Well, that's a funny one. Because when I was younger, I actually had a season ticket for both Celtic and Rangers.
Oh, my God.
Do you see, I really like that. I'm
honestly.
I'm a bit of a weirdo. Yeah, I like the guys who played for Celtic and Rangers. But a guy who's had a season booked for both.
But a lot of people ask me, because when I was on the show, there was a picture of me wearing the Rangers top that get put in the newspaper. And then me and Lisa Commons were the first to sit in every seat at Parkhead for Marie Curie. And we raised £30,000 for that, so...
And did you play football when you were younger?
I did. I loved playing it. And then actually when I took my cardiac arrest playing 10...
Hold on, what? Was this part of your thing with...
Was that not within my sob
was
story?
It you?
No, and because there was no. No, there was no sob story on X Factor.
Seriously, you never had one?
No.
No did or anything like that? No.
No, no did aunties, no. That's no. Why I'm here today. No. So what happened on the show?
Well done, mate. That's
they found out about it, and I wanted to get through my own merit, my own pride. Aye. And for no folk going, oh, my auntie died last year, and the biggest fan about the phone out and vote for him. No, I wanted to get through and actually say, do you know what, he's a decent singer. Do you know what I mean? And that was, and then when I come off the show, that's when it came out saying that I've got this life illness and all that.
What did happen? How did you go?
So I was playing football with my Wishy Wick on my football team.
Right.
Playing up in East Kilbride, and I went to kick off a game and I fell. My mum fell to the ground. My mum and dad thought that somebody shot me out the trees because I just went down like a sag of tatties.
Really?
Can come up and they're trying to bring me back to life. And they,
you're joking.
Long story short, 10, cardiac arrest.
Has he died?
Died. I was out.
Did you die in a pitch?
Aye.
Don't know how. Remember what happened? Can you remember?
Nah, don't remember a hang. Never seen the Golden Gates.
But do you know what? I cannot good believe Lord. That was never.
But then I get diagnosed with a heart condition called long QT syndrome, which was in my genes, but I never knew that until I take the cardiac arrest and I take a tablet every, because basically my heart beats too fast.
Propanol?
No, it's irregular. And what's that word?
Irregular heartbeat?
That's it. Right. But it like, mine goes really fast. So my tablet.
Especially when you're sitting next to the graduate.
Aye. So, because I'm getting, it's nice and hot in here, I'm getting all steamy.
His buttocks.
Aye, even when I get tilt, you were filling me up. I had to take double the tablets this morning.
I can't believe Nicholas didn't even get a montage and sad story on the X Factor out the fact he almost died. Missed a chance there, big man. Anyway, Rangers and Aberdeen legend David Robertson joined us on the show straight off the bat of winning a BAFTA for his documentary Real Kashmir. If you haven't seen that, get it on iPlayer now. It's a must-see. Anyway, he gives a really great insight into what life was really like in Kashmir.
Grado is desperate to ask you about Rangers. I know that. We'll come to that, Grado. But I really need to ask you this. We ask all the guests... all the guests on the Football Daft podcast about Indo-Pakistani geopolitics.
Right. That's all we talk about before we start.
That's good, okay.
What's your view on it, mate?
No view. I've got there's plenty of people over there with guns, so I've got to watch what I say.
Well, that's what I was going to say, right? Do you know shit yourself?
The first time I got there, it was a strike when it was on. So when there's a strike, there's no... all the shops are closed, all the barriers are down, the shutters are down. And you go around, all you see is guys with guns.
I know.
And they reckon that there's, the Indian Army, there's one basic soldier for every 12 Kashmiris.
And is it, as see how when I was watching the documentary, amount of times that training's cancelled?
Yeah.
Because somebody gets shot, somebody's killed, and then that's it. Everything's shut down.
Yeah.
And did they turn the phones off as well?
Yeah, yeah. So there's, at the moment, well, when I first got there...
So it could all kick off, sorry, but and so it could all kick off, basically.
Yeah.
And your missus hears that, you know, or reads about it, and she's getting any way of contacting you, if you're involved.
Well, it's the phones never really switch off, but it's the internet. What'll happen is you wake up in the morning and you look at your phone and you can't get an internet, WhatsApp's just spinning around. And you think, oh, well, somebody's been shot. Now, so, you know,
as an Aberdonian, do you refuse to phone home unless it's on WhatsApp for free?
Yeah, correct, yes, yes. You know the good thing about being
apologies
in Kashmir...
to everyone in cults.
The good thing about Aberdeen, Kashmir, is you can't... There's no movies, there's no McDonald's, there's nothing. Oh. There's nothing to do. So it's very difficult. So being an Aberdonian, it's actually quite good because it's very difficult to spend money there.
what do you do for scoff? What's the scoff like?
Just curries.
Is it? Curries, well, do you know? I travelled with an Indian wrestler.
Yeah.
Bout and every morning that's what he had for his breakfast. Even in America.
Yeah.
Curry.
Yeah. Well, when I first got there, I had games and they're having curries before games. And I'm thinking, surely they've got to have pasta and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And no, even the African says, no, this is okay. So I took my son over there and he's having chicken curries and chicken tikka before games.
The documentary, I've got to say, Real Kashmir FC, if you've not seen it, it's on the BBC iPlayer. I heard it was a top-rated programme in the first month or so of the BBC Scotland channel, and it was an amazing bit of television. What was that experience like? Because, you know, having the cameras following you, was it all the time?
Greg came over. He's come over twice, and the first time he came over, he was there for 6 weeks. So the first week, you've got a microphone on almost 24/7, and you watch what you say. And then I become very good friends.
I didn't notice that.
No, at the start.
You must have edited that bit
at
out.
The start, and he says to me, oh, you need to be a bit more natural. So, God, why am I going to do that? So I become a really good friend with him. So you forget that he's there.
Aye, that's when that's
so then you sort of ease up
danger,
and you're
danger.
Doing something.
Aye,
and then once you blow up, and then I walk away, I think, oh, fuck, what, oh my God.
You're regretting.
And I'm thinking, maybe he won't put that in. Right, yeah. So he said to me before, okay, we'll let you have a look at it, can maybe edit some bits. So we actually got a preview of it 2 days before they went on BBC Scotland. So and I'm watching it, and I'm going, I've got to hope this bit's not in it, because I knew the timeline, and I hope it's not been. I go, oh no, it's in. And I go, this bit can't be. Oh no, that's in as well. Just, and then even that some is... things, I was a bit when I try and do a demonstration, I kick the ball and I just fuck it up, and. And I think he's put that in as well. You know, it's just
that's what makes it.
Can I just say, as a TV person, as soon as you said it, I thought that's going in. Yeah. Actually, for those of you who have not seen it, we've got a little clip from the programme now. It's called Real Kashmir FC. Here it is.
Fuck for fuck's sake! Fucking get it picked up. Can fucking Nick at the end run about here? Fucking go off your ass.
End of clip.
We couldn't get the footage off BBC, unfortunately, so...
You never told me that.
So you're now the new coach of Real Kashmir.
Anyway, that was uncannily like it.
What is the toilet situation over there in India? I mean, when I see it, is it... You basically, when you know, if you've gone crouched down...
A hole in the ground.
Where do you wipe your arse with?
Eh?
Where do you wipe your arse with?
There's a hose.
That's what I'm saying, so isn't it?
Aye. Yeah, so the first time I ever experienced it, I was going to the airport. Srinagar Airport, and you've got loads and loads of security. So in the airport, it's so much security because obviously it's a militarised zone. You actually get to the gate of the airport and you take all your suitcases out and go through security and then put everything back in the car and go to the terminal. So that's the start of it. So you can imagine what it's like. So anyway, there was one time I'm going on a flight and I'm dying for shit. Mm-hmm. And I open the door, fucking hole in the ground.
You don't get this in sports scene, do you?
And I'm thinking, like, how do you do this? Because there's
a
hole, right? There's no handles. Aye. You can't hold on to anything. And I've got a pair of jeans on. So you obviously you've got to pull them down, you've got to squat, and there's a hose. So you've got to balance with a hose.
So do you know what you tuck your...
I actually I stood there for about 10 minutes thinking, I've got no idea how I'm going to do this without my jeans getting soaked.
Aye.
And then you look, where's the paper? There's no paper. But we've got this goalkeeping coach, Jonathan Craig. He was at Hibs and Hearts and East Fife and Berwick and everything. And he's a laugh a minute. He just joined us and he's the funniest guy I've ever worked with, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, he was telling us, he says, so see these toilets, this hole in the ground. He says, how does it work? And I told him what he did. He says, oh, right. He says, what he does was he actually pulls his jeans down and sits on it.
No!
Sits in everybody else's piss and shit.
No! This was bad enough. It's just got so much worse.
And I says to him,
this sounds like the old Brockville.
Oh, no, you don't do that. He says, but I've done it more than once.
It's quality. You must come back to Aberdeen, come home and just shut the toilet door and go for a right good shite.
Well,
we're
renovating a house and I've told my wife that I want a hose.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You're implementing it in your own household.
Yeah. You see that?
You're getting your wife to hose.
And the toilets are all flooded and whatnot.
So you're getting your missus to hose her else.
Well, not hers.
Oh, dear.
Another Scottish footballer abroad is former Hearts winger Sam Nicholson, who currently plays in the MLS with Colorado Rapids. Now, he joins us in the studio to talk about life in the States and what it was like coming up through the youth ranks with Jason Cummings.
See how you're saying that? See how you're talking about the fans, right? And you're saying you've got it easier. Well, I'm not saying you've got it easier, but, you know, there's no that if you go out for a drink after the game, it's not going to be splashed through the tabloids the next day. Mm. Have you had any fans but that have gave you abuse?
No.
Not at all?
No, to be fair,
maybe ever passed a bat or called you shite?
To be fair,
or...
I didn't really go out a lot anyway, to be honest. It was just the times I did. Like, when I was in Minnesota, I went out like two or three times. Like, I'm not really like a big drinker, to be honest.
No.
What? From Penny Cook?
I know. My friends are disgusted.
so are we.
But no, in general, I never really went out a lot. But the times I did, like, they'd be like... Like, when I went to Minnesota, there was actually fans of Minnesota, like, sitting there, like, reeking at the table.
Aye.
Like, shit, we'd been beat 4-0 and they're like, hey, good hustle today, man. I'm
good
like,
hustle.
No,
what?
Good hustle. What does that even mean?
I was shy.
Have you started using that part yet? See the lights out. Do you say defence and all that? No?
I have once.
Aye.
Dad was not happy.
Nah, mate, you mate.
And what is the mood in the locker room?
Nah, I say locker room now as well.
Yeah.
It's not the sports centre.
What would you say, soccer or football?
No, I say football, to be fair. I do say football. I kind of change that.
Good lad. Tell us about where you started your career, because there's somebody that you were friends with in those days who once very famously, in a viral sense, injured this balloon here sitting next to you.
Jason, aye.
Tell us about Jason.
Jason Cummings.
He's just, to be fair, I don't even need to tell you. You know what he's like. He's a donut.
he's a donut, yeah.
But just when I was at Hutchie, I started at Hutchie Vale with him and we moved to Hearts. But he's always been getting in trouble. Like, see, when we were at Hutchie Vale, I can remember him and Conor McGregor, Lee McGregor's older brother, we were in the same team. We used to turn up to training in like a different bike, like every single training session. My dad used to always go to them. Like,
push bike?
Aye. Like, he'd go like, where'd you get that? Because they'd be running late and they'd be like, somebody's garden. And he'd be like, what are you doing with that? He'd be like, we'll drop off on the way back. It was just the way, like, they just weren't really bothered, eh? Like, normally you'd be like,
no rules.
Normally you'd be, I don't know if I should. They literally would just jump into somebody's garden, probably break into a shed or something. I don't know, they were... Yeah. They were like that, but they were good. They were good lads, but they were just mental.
He was a Hearts fan, wasn't he?
Aye. I was at Hearts when me and him went to Hearts together.
So what was the story then? How did it go for Jason?
He had a tough time. He'd done his knee. He'd done his cruciate. I don't know how he'd done it, to be honest. He probably done it.
Fell off a bike.
Aye. I don't know. Probably running through gardens and that. He got pulled up about that as well when I was at Hearts.
Running through gardens?
Aye. Our 17s coach was like a policeman, and he's literally opened the door for training. It was like on a Wednesday night or something, and he just went, "Where's Jason?" And Jason's sitting there, obviously, as usual, just like, oh, "Shit, what have I done now?" And he's saying, "You've been running about gardens, haven't you?" He was like, "No." He's like, "You got your name taken by the police." He was like, "You've been running through gardens at Stockton Mains, haven't you?" And he went, "Oh, aye, that was me." He was just like, didn't he really care? He was like, "Aye, that was me."
What was he doing? Stealing underwear off washing lines?
Just running through gardens.
Didn't
the gardens,
mate? You never done the garden stand, huh?
Brilliant. And at 17, Michael Owen was scoring the winner against Argentina at the World Cup, and Jason is running through gardens and socks the main. Who was that coach? PC?
PC Brown. Andy Brown, his name was.
We better give him a mention.
But no, Jason's just not. He's just like everyone, eh? Just got a dash streak in him.
Do you think he would be suited to the MLS?
I just hope he doesn't come with the same team as me. I've done too much with that boy.
That would not be good for the house prices in Denver.
He's a good lad, obviously, and you know, people take him the wrong way. He's all in all a good boy. That's just mistaken, really, to be honest. But no, he's brand new. You just know yourself and what you've seen.
He's a good character. Characters like that are needed in football.
He's daft but funny.
We definitely need to get Jason Cummings on the show at this point, just so we can talk about the Cum Dog versus Grado at Hibs. Now, we like to surprise Grado with the Who Are You guest that we get on. And he was in complete awe when we welcomed in everyone's favourite panto baddie, the legendary radio pundit, Mr. Hugh Keevans. Now, Hugh is normally on the radio and is kind of kept on a leash. When he came on the Football Dad podcast, he was totally off it.
Be honest, have you sat in the house, Grado, wanting to throttle this man here?
Do you know what?
Has he offended you at some point?
No, do you know what? I've got to come clean. Like, I can handle Shug. I can handle you. Honestly, there's a lot of Rangers fans out there that, you know, though, they don't speak highly of Mr. Keevans. Right, they do. Nice. No, that's true. No, do you know what I mean? But I've always liked listening to you. I've always listened to you, and I've got to say as well, when as a Rangers fan, listening to the way you spoke about Billy McNeil when he passed, the way you carried the show that night, I don't know if it was that night or the day after, just the way you spoke about him, the passion and the respect for you, there's respect for him that you had, I really enjoyed
it. Okay, you know, it's not just Rangers fans, let me assure you. You know, this is not a state secret, but one of my brothers is a priest. And he's coming back from a funeral, and he gave me a call about a family matter. And I said, where are you anyway? He said, my way back from a crematorium. He said, the funny thing, he said, the body came into the church last night, and they looked up and saw my name. They said, yeah, it's a funny name, Keevan. Do you any? He said, yeah, he's my brother, yeah. And he said, oh, he said, Paddy in the coffin. Couldn't he stand you? he used to have many a fight with him on Super Scoreboard. So I said to my brother, the family haven't put me down as cause of death, have they?
does it bother you now? Does it bother you now? I mean, you know, spew Keevans.
Oh, nah.
You take that as a banter.
Listen.
You never heard that one? Spew Keevans.
I've had decades of earnings out of this. They can call me whatever they like. It really is water off a duck.
And I believe that.
But I'll tell you, this is some city. My late mother-in-law, God rest her, was in the Beetson. And in her room were all of the women folk. My two girls, my wife, all of her daughters. It was a women-only thing. Mm-hmm. And I was standing there, and I was listening to my children, my wife, my sisters-in-law, crying. Because it was very near the end. And you're staring into the distance. And a voice said, are you Hugh Keevans? And I said, Is it the... Who do you think I win the league? Now, I can barely hear his question for the sound of wailing coming from my mother-in-law's room. And I said to him...
I mean, it's no funny, but it's...
I said, Celtic, you're kidding me on. I said, listen, you asked me a question, I've been given the answer. It's not up for debate. If you think something else, good luck to you, but I've given my answer. He looked above my head and it said, high dependency unit. And he said, nothing serious, I hope. And he walked away.
Oh, that's glorious.
And I thought, you know, only in this city can you get that kind of thing. Aye.
Yes, some absolutely brilliant stories from Hugh there. Another Who Are You guest we welcomed onto the show was Kilmarnock Cup winning fullback Dylan Kerr. Now, as an Ayrshireman, you think Grado might have a wee bit of a soft spot for Killy. But then again, they did stop 10 in a row for Rangers, and Grado wasn't very happy about it. The story Dylan told us about that day, though, was phenomenal.
As an Ayrshire guy, a lot of people think that I've got a liking for Killy, but to me, they stopped 10 in a row. I think they did anyway. Because they, yeah, they definitely did. Oh. Anyway.
Did you play in that game?
Not only did I play, David, but I had probably one of my best and worst games of my life. The best game is that, you know, we won it. The best game that, you know, I kind of got the better of Mr. Laudrup, even though he did give me a torrid. But, you know, on a personal bit, on the back of that, you know, I was absolutely steaming the night before because I just found out my beautiful wife was kind of, you know, involved in another relationship. So, kind of.
Fuck! I thought you were going to say,
kind of
mate,
funny.
I thought you were going to say she was up. She was up the duff. I didn't was expecting that.
No,
mate.
By the way, no. We never got to that stage where we wanted children. Thank God. But yeah, I think I polished off nearly three quarters of a bottle of Balvenie that night.
Mate, this is funny as fuck. Oh man, what a story! That's a great story. I don't know whether to laugh here, greet for you, or just be raging because you stoked my dreams. You know what I mean?
We went to that game and we were in that dressing room and we knew we were going to win.
Is that right?
You know, that was the, I think I think we knew we were going to win because I think Rangers came out thinking they were going to win.
Yeah, aye.
But they had their kids in for the warm up,
and everybody else were in celebration mode before, because of how big it was, because of the occasion. 10 in a row, you know. You still talk about it now, and when we saw all the players that were walking around the tunnel and, you know, laughing, joking, you know, we just thought these guys thought they've won it, and we're going to give it a go, and we did, and right till the death. When was it Ali Mitchell
It was Ali Mitchell, I think it was.
Came from his knee, rolled down his shin, and went in the corner.
I love how you can remember every minute detail there.
Who knew, eh? Anyway, former Celtic, Dundee United and Aberdeen winger Will O'Flood was another one who joined us on the show recently, and he talked through his move to Celtic and how he regretted it, as well as talking about his ill-fated move to Bally United.
So tell us what happened with that whole situation with Bally and Dunfermline.
Basically, I was in at Dunfermline, I trained a couple of days, and I got a Dutch agent ring me and said, we've got an offer in Bally. Well, it was good money and it was good lifestyle, and it was just something that I fancied, if I'm being honest. And then I was embarrassed, obviously, going into Alan Johnson, the Dunfermline manager, who was actually really good to me. I actually enjoyed his training for the first fucking
3 years.
Yeah, because I was with Shabba, and I didn't enjoy Shabba's training, so I went back and thought, fucking hell, this is decent. Mm-hmm. And then I got the offer from Bally, and it was just too good an opportunity to turn down at my age. It was just something totally different. And
out the blue as well.
Good lifestyle, and you know what I mean? So I just basically went into him and said, listen, Gaffer, we had a clause in my contract that if something foreign came up that I could go, and something came up, so I just went into him and said, listen, it's an opportunity for me, I can't turn it down at my age. And he's like, fucking hell, Will, you're killing me, like, you know what I mean?
Aye.
Because I had agreed a deal early, and I felt like a bit of a dick, if I'm being honest, but
business,
it was just something that I fancied, you know what I mean? And then I was over there 3 days, crashed a scooter twice, nearly killed myself. Done my medical.
As you do.
Yeah, done my medical, passed that, was fine. Trained with the team twice. And then the agent that brought me over there just says, oh, I've got some bad news. And they said, because the missus and the little fella had come over for 3 weeks. They just arrived, and I said, what's up? And he just says, oh, the contract's void. And I said, what the fuck? And he goes, basically that you had to come from the Scottish Premiership to sign for Bally.
That's insane. Yeah. So then you're then left without a club.
Yeah.
How did you feel when you heard that news at first? What was your gut reaction?
Aye.
I just thought, you know, to be fair, I thought, you know what, the Dunfermline fans would be thinking, that fucking shows you cunt, because...
Aye. That's what you get.
Those are the exact words that they would have said,
exactly.
Go to your face, though, but...
Looking back on it, what was it that Bally offered you that... Dunfermline didn't.
Just a. Just totally like.
Sun!
Lifestyle and culture, and it was totally like you're trying at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and.
What was the scoff like?
Field was nice, place was nice, beaches were nice, everything was nice, you know?
Did you feel. I mean, you've been caught. They've pulled your pants down on that one, to use a football expression. How did you feel then when you left it for the last time, heading, you know, how long's the journey to Bali?
It takes about 12 hours or something, 14
hours.
Did
you fly first class?
No, they flew me first class over and fucking...
Ah, on him in the bag, middle seat.
Yeah. You were the chickens.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So, was that as low as you felt?
Well, I didn't really feel low, like, you know, I'm sure there's fucking people, and like, my thing was, everything happens for a reason, it was just wasn't meant to be, you know, so...
Oh, gosh.
It wasn't that bad, it wasn't as if you're fucking scraping for your last dollar, so it didn't... There's people in worse off situations than me, you know, and I always thought to myself, you know what, you've given football a good crack, but like, you've been at it since you were 15-year-old, so what will be, like...
Aye.
And I played for fucking a club that I supported, at Celtic, I played in the Premier League, I played in the Scottish Premier League, so... I'd achieved more than I ever thought I would.
I thought you should have played for Ireland.
Yeah, so do I.
I thought you did. I thought you did.
I thought I should have got at least a cap. Like, obviously, when I was doing well at Man City at the time, and I was doing well at Dundee United at the time, before I got the move to Celtic, then there was talk of it, and it just never happened, you know.
Who was to blame?
Brian Kerr was the manager at the time, so he was to blame. He fucking gave some shy players caps, but he never gave me a cap.
What was it like to play for your boyhood heroes?
Do you know what? It was an unbelievable achievement because I thought, you know what, I've got there, but then I never really felt I got there because I never played as much. So then I actually realised, I actually probably wish I never went there, if you know what I mean,
really?
Because I never played.
Aye.
Football, I ain't happy. To be fair, some footballers are happy, but I was never happy until I played games. So you never really felt part of it until you played games. And even though I was there and I played a little bit, I never really felt part of it.
Aye. What was that Celtic dressing room like at the time? Now you've got big characters like the Holy Goalie, Arthur Boric.
Yeah, we heard there was plenty of talent. There was McGeady, Scott McDonald, Sean Maloney, Nakamura. Like, there was plenty of boys.
Plenty of winners in that squad, weren't there? Yeah.
Obviously, we didn't win the league that year, but it was some big characters, big players, but I just never really felt part of it because I never played as much. And
aye.
I wish, I'll probably back, if I could turn back time, I probably should have just stayed at Dundee United.
Really?
Because the money...
The pressure's really high at Celtic. Did that sometimes reflect...
The pressure didn't bother me because I never...
Blow-ups in the dressing room or in the training ground?
Yeah, we had a few little... Like obviously, McGeady and... Arthur had a bit of a fallout and stuff like that, but there wasn't.
Were they rolling about the flare?
No. They were rolling about in the shower, yeah, but.
Were they really?
Trying to fight each other.
With their boss and all that?
Yeah. Yeah. But.
Have you ever that happens that before?
No. That happens at every club.
Aye. Fucking swinging punches with your tootle out and your flip-flops.
Yeah, there's an argument.
Aye, I can imagine it.
Not with the balls hanging out, like, you know.
It's a bit rich coming from a wrestler who wins his money in trunks.
I mean, you're surely not a footballer until you've had a naked fight in the showers, are you? Anyway, the guys might be off, but we've still got the chance for you to win free beer on our Beer 52 match of the week. Now, this week, obviously, still winter shut down, so we're picking a game from the Championship, and that game is Partick Thistle versus Dundee United. So all you have to do to win is guess the correct score before 3 p.m. on Saturday. We'll stick the links up on our Facebook and our Twitter. Everyone who gets the right score will go into the draw to win the beer. So comment on the link on the Football Daft Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter at @footballdaftpod and put the hashtag #freebeer when you're making your predictions. Winners must be over 18 and stay in the UK. Now, it's a hard one to call. Partick Thistle have picked up a wee bit of form recently under Ian McCall, but Dundee United are still flying. I think they've only lost one in the last five. So I would probably call a draw on that, maybe 1-1. Anyway, we'll wait and see. And remember, you can get Beer 52 even if you don't take part in the competition. All you need to do is go to beer52.com/daft and we'll sort you out some free beers if you cover off the $4.95 for the postage and the packaging. Now, normally on those kind of deals, you get 8, but as you listen to Football Daft, we're going to give an extra 2 beers to you, so 10 free beers heading your way for the paltry sum of £4.95. Now, Beer 52 is a monthly subscription service. You can get involved in it. Just sign up and they don't hold you to ransom. You can leave at any time. So even if you sign up for a couple of months and fed up with it, you can just bugger off and tell them you don't want it anymore. But I'm sure you will because they do some fantastic beers. Now just go to beer52.com/daft. Get your first case of 10 beers for free. Now, another footballing guest we welcomed onto the show was talismanic Queen of the South striker Stephen Dobie, who, when he joined us, had just had a statue put up outside of Palmerston. Now, he talked us through some of the managers he worked with, including Ian Holloway and Brendan Rodgers.
Listen, you went to St Johnstone.
Yeah.
Who was your manager there?
It was John Connolly, you remember him?
Yeah, great player. Everton.
he signed us and... didn't really know much about John, and went in first day, chapped the door. He said, it was because he was quite old at the time. He said, oh, come in. Went in. And have you ever seen the police academy when he's putting into the cup? That's what he was doing. putting on one side of the room into a cup. And I'm like, oh, Gaffer. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Put it in. Like, oh, Stephen, oh, nice to meet you. And I was like, oh.
It's funny these managers that have these wee things in it that they do. You walk in on them. Like,
I've never seen anyone do that.
Aye, putting in a wee mug at the
other end of the room. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation
was
as
it?
Well.
I thought it was Police Academy.
Yeah, probably all of these films.
Was it Lassard?
That's magnificent. That brilliant. Is weird. Did you do any other weird stuff?
No, not really.
What about Holloway?
Brilliant. Best time.
Good segue. Weird. Holloway.
Aye. Best character you ever meet.
Did he have any sort of mad things in his office where you'd walk in and see him?
No, in his office, but just every day.
Aye.
Every day, like
constant.
If he was going to their team on a Friday, it wouldn't be like, you know, like they've got the boards and all that now and all that. It would be wallpaper that's not been used, sticking up with a hatchet. No, and then but it was a portable. They've got a portable. Have you never been to Blackpool's training ground?
No.
It's a portable
no.
they've got, so he's nailing up a big bit of wallpaper for us, doing starts drawing on it. And oh, who have they got at left back? Butcher. Better off with Pat Butcher at the back there. And just a laugh every day.
Aye.
But character, what a guy. Absolutely amazing.
Did you ever, you always hear the stories of like managers, like maybe if they've played well, they would treat you and take you somewhere. Did he ever do that? Like, did ever.
It's just random.
Aye.
Random stuff. Like we'd look at it, and obviously the training ground's right close to the beach.
Aye.
So when the wind's hitting and all that, he would look at the window and go, nah, no the day, lads. Come on. We're going bowling. And he'd just randomly phone up the bowling and I were coming. Or mum, we're going for rolls and sausage, yeah, the hill.
See, how important is that? I mean, could you imagine things like that?
They must
Brendan
play a big
Rogers
part. Have taken you out for rolls and sausage?
No, for rolls and sausage, but he would have like a meal at arrange a meal at night time and more a sensible route.
So maybe a wee vegan number or something.
He was what he knows about football is unbelievable.
Really?
You don't really understand some of the things he would teach you. Would be amazing.
What type of manager did you prefer?
Both in different senses. I knew when I was coming in with Holloway I was going to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless what he would putting on, where Brendan was mayor, I was definitely going to learn something today.
See's a group of players. Who are they fighting for most? A manager that likes a wee bit of a carry on, or a manager that's, you know, you're learning amazing stuff for him, but there's no quite that banter. Who, do you know, as a club overall, as a dressing room, who did they fight for mayor?
The both of them.
Aye.
The difference between them was, I'll give you an example, right? Holloway signed a Spanish boy who couldn't speak English. So he said to him, what I want to do is, today we're going to counter-attack, so we're going to draw them in and then we're going to hit them. But Holloway's in the middle of the midfield wheel and saying, you know, we're going to, a bow and arrow, we pull back and then just did that, clapped his hands. And Holloway's away up the park. And the boy's standing and looking at him going, I don't know what's going on here. Well, Brendan would, he could speak Spanish.
See?
That's the difference.
Aye,
Brendan. I'm sure, because he got injured at an early age, Brendan, didn't he? And he had to retire. I'm sure he went to Barcelona for a couple of months and watched them training and learnt the language. So with the Spanish boys like Angel Rangel, he could speak fluent Spanish. So it made it amazing. Not for me. I don't know. Gosh, can you speak English now, man?
Do you know what? You might not know this as well. Earlier in the interview, Stephen admitted he's a massive wrestling fan, and Grado actually tried to wrestle him in Blackpool. I'm sure we can make that happen at WrestleMania. Okay, so that's just about it from our favourite parts of the interviews from the last couple of months. But let's leave you with this unbelievable story from Gary Mackay, Stephen. And that time, he fell in the River Kelvin.
And I just remember, I think it was to get around the Jaeger bombs in. I didn't actually have the Jaeger bombs because I got a punch. A guy swung kind of from behind.
Nice.
Well, for no reason?
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. For no reason. And but it was kind of like through a Malia crowd, you know.
It was a shiter, a punch. It wasn't
good. And then I'd turned around and then it was kind of a scuffle. But there was loads of people. And then, for whatever reason, the bouncer who's actually, who kind of helped with sorting the table and that was obviously recognised. He was like, got me out of the situation. But I got thrown out, like, or not thrown out, but it's like, you need to go, like, for my own good, really, because, you know, you don't, like, want to be in a fight or anything like that. And, but it was in the back door, so got put out the back door, but with my mates, so we went out the back door, but I'd never been out the back door. So I just, like, literally was like, oh, it's ridiculous, having a good night, like, blah, blah, blah. So we just wandered, like, we'll go somewhere else, and I jumped over this wall. I just remember a wall vaguely, like, not a big wall, but went over it, and yeah, all of a sudden, like, I'm all of a sudden I'm in the river, and like I kind of fell, so I'm like right like in the river, and obviously it was a laugh at the time. Like, obviously I was had a few drinks, but as soon as I got in the river, I was like, geez, I'm in the river here. This is like an absolute nightmare.
You would notice that.
But I just remember like kind of shuffling about, and then I got caught, like not caught, but there was like kind of rapids, and next minute I'm just straight down the river. Like,
you must have been shitting yourself.
And that's the thing.
Too drunk to even.
Nah, I wasn't too drunk, because from there onwards,
survivor like, mode.
From Sanctuary, from what happened in Sanctuary, from getting out, and like I say, the wall, I can't even say, like, I saw the wall again, be like, not sure about, like,
how far is the drop from that wall?
I didn't fall, like, free fall. Like, I just jumped over, and I kind of remember falling because it's slippy, and like, I was kind of went down, but it wasn't that deep, but it was obviously, it was really slippy. There were stones, I was slipped. And then I just remember my feet being out in front of me, and I'm kind of like shuffling like on my hand, but like you'd go under and then back up. But jeez. Then in my head, I'm thinking at the sides, like it's dark, but I'm thinking the sides, it wasn't easy to get out in bits. So I'm like, oh, at one point I'll get it. There'll be a side where I got out. I got swept a good bit. Yeah. Like I remember laughing, thinking, geez, like this is ridiculous. Like, how's this night going from amazing night to being out back door, and then all of a sudden I'm like in the middle of the water. When Stu was one of them. Like, there was Scotty Wright for Aberdeen. There's some of my brother and my sister, they were home by this point because it was later. But when was at that bit, like, Stu was there. And I think he didn't want to get his Russell and Bromley's wet or something. That's why he didn't come in after me. But he, obviously, so they, like, him and, like, a few others saw me getting, like, swept. And obviously that's, like, they were the ones that were like, geez.
Who
like,
called
really
the cops?
Worried. Like, I'm not sure who called. It would have been him or maybe my girlfriend, I'm not sure, because there was a lot of people there, as I say. And obviously for them, they were like, saw me and like saw me being gone away, really. And they were like, Jesus. But in my head, like, honestly, I wasn't like...
You're calm?
Not even calm, just kind of... seems weird, but like thinking, what an absolute idiot. Like, how is this happening? You know what I mean?
Was there a point where you thought, I'm going to die here, or at best my football career's over, because you're lucky, like, you weren't smashed into a bridge.
Nothing
joint.
Like that. So, happened. It was in for a while. Got, obviously...
When you say a while, how long?
I think it was 50 minutes I was in.
15?
50.
50?
50 minutes, yeah.
And you did end up with hypothermia, right?
Yeah, I had mild hypothermia. Uh-huh. So, that night, so I... Yeah, got... Was in overnight.
Was it Queen Elizabeth Hospital you went to?
Yeah, it would have been, I think. Right. Yeah, and... I was on, I think, a drip or something, just to like warm up. Mm. And obviously it was the worst night for all my friends and all like that were out with me, because in that moment it was like, it wasn't till probably and 1 or 2 hours that they were at the police station, and obviously just were thinking the worst. And like, I kind of like, it was like, it was bad, but not in my head at the time. It was not like, this is so serious. It didn't kind of hit me that, geez, that was close call, until a little bit after. Mm.
Did the police give you any kind of warning or anything like that? Or were they just...
No. And so I go straight to the hospital. Like, I felt brand new the next day. Like, dodged the hangover. Amazing. But then my...
if you take on plenty of water, you'll be fine. Maybe another Kelvin.
And then my missus came then later to the hospital, because obviously after, but they were all distraught. And I'll tell you one thing that was bizarre. In the hospital, so about it must have been later on, like 6 or 7 in the morning, the nurse came through and was like, all right, all checks are good. You can get out, but you just need to tell me where you are. And like, this is the thing I remember most clear. I was like, yeah, no problem. Golf course. and the nurse was like, no, have a look around, where are you? And I remember sitting there kind of looking at monitors, looking at like the wires, blah, 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 my bed. I was like, yeah, the golf course. And she was like, right. And my girlfriend was sitting in the corner, and she was like, all right. And she'd had obviously a hell of a night, crazy night. Eventually she was in the hospital, but she was like obviously wanting to go home, like everything was okay. But she was like, she couldn't tell me where I was. Like, I had to work out for myself. And yeah, I was convinced I was at the golf course. And then so in my head, I'm like, right, what's she on about? She's at it here. So the nurse went back, and then I remember my girlfriend going, Gary, look around, like look everywhere. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, you're not at the golf course. I'm like, yeah, that nurse is at it. But she couldn't say too much to me. And then eventually half an hour comes back, the nurse comes back, where are you? And I'm thinking, I can't see the golf course because
I'm not at the golf course.
Not the golf course, obviously. So I said, she came back, and bear in mind, I'd only been at Aberdeen a couple of months, like September, a couple of months probably. And she goes, where are you, Gary? Like, and you've had a chance to, and I was like, yeah, I'm at Union Street. Union Street
in Aberdeen.
In Aberdeen, Union Street. And she was like, no, you're not at Union Street. And I went, I know, I'm at the fucking golf course. And,
well, that put her in her place.
That's fucking brilliant. And, but.
So that's it for another Football Daft Best Of. Thank you very much for listening, even though Ewan, Grado or David Tanner aren't here. We'll be back, of course, with a full squad after the winter break with more exciting guests, more banter and, of course, more Football Daft.
This is 4 Network.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.